Jan.
I'm gonna make a motion.
Are those taken?
Are you ready? Okay, are we back on?
Okay, I'm gonna call the meeting back to order. And Congresswoman Rivard.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to make an amendment to ONCA 23-19. On page 7, lines 309, insert the following and adjust the totals accordingly. G, insert a new section into ONCA 2295, section 56A, Sovereignty Day Celebration. And it's for the amount of $12,500.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. Motion passes. And then I'm going to ask you, sponsor, to jump to historic preservation on your bill. Dr. Hunter is on the call.
Okay. I sure will. Give me a sec, Dr. Hunter. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Okay, that's section 37. Go ahead, Dr. Hunter.
Well, thank you all for providing this opportunity to take another look at our budget. And our office is experiencing, as we had projected back in September, when we were reviewing our budgets, that we would be inundated with additional ARPA projects and infrastructure projects, and that certainly has come to fruition. And we have right now about 4,300 projects, Section 106 projects. We've got archaeological surveys and monitoring projects in-house and those requested from federal projects. We've got roughly 40 of those that we have slated for currently and for the spring and summer. And these are just the ones that we currently know about. We just were informed of some additional in-house surveys that will need to be conducted. And we had been, one of our archaeology positions that we had in our fiscal year 23 budget was removed. And we are asking that that particular archaeology position be put back in place. And we are requesting an additional archaeology position due to the number of projects that we're getting. Just the survey and the monitoring work is taking a tremendous amount of time. The deadlines that are being placed on us, it is pretty much wreaking havoc on our archaeologists. And that does not include roles that they have in terms of reviewing Section 106 projects that come into our program, those 4,300 active projects that require review and additional comment. So we're essentially having a rough time trying to meet our mandate and are requesting assistance by adding back the archaeologist and providing us an additional one as well.
Any questions or comments for Dr. Hunter?
Well, I'll give comment because I do support her request. I think we spoke to her during CEJO, in which we talked a lot about the projects that were coming forward with our own in-house, as she mentioned, the ARPA projects, plus we have our own projects that we use with tribal dollars. I think yesterday I acknowledged we had 19 ARPA projects, and it's not that she has anything to do with all of them, but I'm just trying to make a point that we have a lot of projects, that doesn't include the tribally funded one. So I of course support her request at this time. Thank you.
Is there anyone else that has any questions or comments on this budget? Okay, you want to move on then? All right. Thank you, Dr. Hunter.
Okay, we'll start. Then, Congressman Tillman, did you want to make a motion so we can discuss your stuff?
Congressman Tillman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I can make a motion to amend Bill Number ONCA 2319. Page 4, lines 163, insert a new line under equipment acquisition that states gym equipment for Pawhuska Fitness Center, $150,000, and adjust totals accordingly.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none. Is there any action? Or are you ready for action? You still have something else?
We have to vote on it.
On the amendment.
On the amendment? Oh, gosh, yes. Okay. All in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed, say no. The amendment passes.
Chair, I think if we could go back to section 8A, the broadband, mm-hmm. and the executive branch is requesting $58,660. This, again, is they're asking for tribal dollars. This is one of the sections that I think that should be amended out to be paid out of ARPA dollars. And I think the treasurer spoke a little bit about this yesterday.
We had a meeting last week where it was reported that the current obligations that were sitting in the broadband were going to be fully utilized on the project. I'll let Mr. Trembley speak more to that.
I think, too, Chair, this kind of ties into the $3.5 million that we provided the executive for broadband, and the discussions that we've been having. What is that? Why aren't they utilizing that funding to support this request?
Right.
I don't know where Mr. Trumbly would. Oh, he.
You can sit. It's.
Thank you, Congresswoman, and I want to thank you all of you for allowing me the opportunity to discuss this. So the question is, why we weren't using the $3.5 million? Well, so we went back and we out of Microy, we took everything that was actually already paid, what's been approved, and what's in progress. So those are obligated funds. And then we identified all the components that were planned and budgeted for projects. And the total for that total amount was $3,575, or $3,575,611.16. So we're already over the 3.5, not counting these, this request. And every day we have new projects that seem to pop up. We had, 2 days ago, I found out that we had a request when we tore down Wake and Iron, we disconnected the fiber we had run to that. Well, naturally, we just got requested 2 days ago to have to install fiber into the Wake and Iron, the new Wake and Iron, and it's a perfectly natural expected, you know, request, but that has been that's another $12,000 that wasn't planned on, and these $12,000 here and there go on and on. The projects that we have budgeted with the ARPA money currently include such things as Pawhuska Senior Housing, Fairfax Senior Housing, the Osage Nation facilities in Fairfax, Gray Horse Fiber to the Home, which, by the way, is a very expensive component because the houses and the residents are so diverse, and there's not, you know, like a grid laid out. So everything is basically its own separate drop and fiber run. And so that was a very large component. So the projects, we also had budgeted hooking up what NTIA calls community anchor institutions, such as schools and hospitals and libraries and things like that. So we had those already budgeted in there, and that basically has already used the $3.5 million.
Anybody have any questions? If not, I do.
Well, I have a further question, if I may, Chair. Mm-hmm. I'll be quick. So in the support docs, the request, the $58,000 request includes office supplies for laptops and monitors and phones, docking stations, cameras, and things of that nature, and then desktop printers, routers. And my point is, it's their supplies, and of course some space cost and lease dollars, and then of course the probably the one of the biggest expenses, IDC. I just can't imagine that you couldn't put these specific supplies out of the 3.5, because we're in the first quarter of this year. And the report that we received yesterday said they had only spent a little over 200,000. And so they have a huge available balance right now in the ARPA dollars. So I just can't imagine that you may project, but and you've earmarked, but I just don't understand how you cannot put these costs in the 3.5. I understand that in the grants that we had applied for, which I'm very proud of this project, that there, you know, of course, were no personnel allowed. But I just don't understand why you couldn't use this 3.5 to address these costs that you're requesting.
Well, the I may address the construction fees for the Pawhuska Senior Housing came in at $149,280. The design and professional fees were $30,000. The equipment and materials wound up being $38,000. So the total price for that project was $218,000. Fairfax Senior Housing came in at $183,000, you know, and then Gray Horse Fiber to the Home, like I said, it was very expensive because it's each run is basically its own separate run. It came in at over $800,000 just for that. So, you know, we can go through all those projects, and what we were asking for is basically, we can't take the money out of NTIA or the ReConnect grants because those are construction grants. And anything, the rules of those grants are anything in that's bought with NTIA resources can only be used on NTIA grants. So we can't use them across the board, which is what we were talking about doing. We've got currently three different funding sources, as well as we've got two more that have been applied for that we're feeling optimistic about getting. And then we've got three more that we're working with the state of Oklahoma and NTIA for like BEAD and things like that. The BEAD program is Broadband Equity Access Deployment, and DE is the Digital Equity Program. So what those will allow us to do, in addition to continue additional broadband build-outs, is allow us to hook up fiber to the home for non-natives using federal dollars. Currently, what we have only allows us to hook up fiber to the home for native households. And of course, we can still do with our 16 towers, we'll be able to do fixed wireless, but all of these projects, you know, they all totaled up over 3.5 million with what we've already spent and the trailer and the office space and things like that. So what we're asking for is just support for the staff, the 9 positions we have. And also, by the way, that 3.5 covers all the staff positions for 2 years.
Okay, I have a question. When you mentioned the drops, you're talking about installing drops, and you call them construction. So why are they not a part of the NTIA? I know you said something, but I didn't get it.
Well, okay, so the drops at Gray Horse are not part of NTIA because OIS already had fiber in Gray Horse. And so that was considered a served area. Mm-hmm. So NTIA would not pay for a served area. So there's no other option for doing fiber to the home in Gray Horse except for using the ARPA dollars. I mean, the other option would be NTIA is going to pay for Pawhuska and Hominy villages. So I guess the other option would be to have fiber to the home in Pawhuska and Hominy and not have it in Gray Horse, but I don't think that's an option any of us want to see.
Well, that's also confusing me. So if that's OIS and OIS has a contractor, why isn't their contractor putting in the drops?
They didn't put it into their grant. So they didn't get money for it.
I'm talking about their contract. So.
Beg your pardon?
I was talking about their contract.
What contract?
Their contract with their service provider. So let's go back.
With AtLink? Mm-hmm. You'll have to ask them why they don't have that.
Okay, that's why I'm just wondering why we're discussing it here. So so for Pawhuska and Hominy, you're going to be putting in drops, and you've got all these projects. And I guess that's where I'm concerned and I don't understand is why those projects are having to go in on ARPA dollars, or why are they not part of one of the grants that you've got going on?
The NTA grant, the 40.6 million, and the Reconnect grant we got from USDA RUS for 13.9, they have identified very specific projects that have to be done. In the NTIA, Pawhuska Indian Camp was one of the projects. Hominy Indian Village was one of the projects. Hooking up the, doing the runs from Pawhuska through Hominy to Skytook to Tulsa, and the towers that are going to be located on there. Those are very specific projects that were identified as part of the grant application. Pawhuska Senior Housing, Fairfax Senior Housing, Fairfax Osage Nation Facilities, the Gray Horse Fiber to the Home. Those things were not identified in any of the NTIA or Reconnect grants. And so if we want to provide those, then we have to pay for them out of ARPA dollars. Like, I guess if you wanted to, you could use tribal dollars, but we were planning on doing it with the ARPA dollars out of that 3.5.
Anybody else have any questions right now? Let me think for a minute.
I do.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Dr. Trumbly. How are you today?
I'm doing very good. How are you, Congresswoman?
Thank you. Pretty good. Thanks for asking. So 3.5. And then you're here for another ask, because what I understand is your 3.5 is already considered being expended. But then I heard, did I hear correctly that it will allow you to continue operations with what you currently have for the next 2 years? Did I hear that somewhere in your responses?
Yes, it will cover the staff that we've hired to oversee all this and coordinate across all these funding sources for the next 2 years.
Okay. And so your ask is for things that aren't, that you don't have at this point in time, that you foresee that you're going to need?
Well, staff and support items for the staff and things like that, yes.
Okay. So how imminent is the need?
Oh, beg your pardon?
How imminent is the need?
I think it's very, I mean, we have to have, the staff has to have computers. We have to have, you know, print, you know, the ability to print, you know. So I think it's very imminent is the need. You know, if you decide not to do that, then I'll have to look elsewhere to support the staff to accomplish and satisfy the mission.
So how many staff members do you have that don't have computers at the moment?
Well, currently we have four that do not have computers at this point. And we've got the printer we have is in the executive building and things like that. We don't have any of the supplies and staff or office supplies that you normally would have. You know, we're just been basically sponging off of IT and some of the others like that.
Okay, so that leads me to another question. How are the individuals that don't have the equipment that is needed? I mean, this is just a real general question. How are they performing their duties?
Well, IT has given them loaners to use temporarily. So.
Okay.
And then we're also hiring three additional people that, you know, currently don't have any support computers or support, that, but they're not hired yet. They're in the process.
Okay. May I have one more question, ma'am? Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for letting me go on. I forgot to ask if I could. So I don't know if this is going to make it out of this committee. Okay.
I understand.
I'm just, you know, being up front. And that's why I asked the questions that I did, because, you know, there's a lot of times that we've all had to rework situations. I'm not upset necessarily, but the comment that you first started out with, and maybe I took it wrong, but because I'd like a little more clarity, is that you've already expended over the 3.5, but technically you haven't, right?
Oh, it's not. It has not been spent. That you're correct. It has not been spent, but it has been allocated for these projects.
And therefore, you see that you have a shortfall based on the amount of employees and the equipment that you think that you need to have. But if this
and the cost of all these projects
and so you can't. So you mentioned the reconnecting with Wake and Iron.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't use any of your other. I guess I'm confused. That came up because of Wake and Iron was, of course, being reconstructed and everything. So that was a project that you're going to do. And so you're saying that you. I'm going to go back away from that in just a minute. Okay. It's not going to shut you down, though, if you don't get this money. That's my last question.
What's going to happen if we don't get this money?
Yeah, it's not going to stop you from progressing, correct?
No, I will just have to start looking at cutting projects or scaling back projects that we plan to do.
And what would be an example of scaling back a project?
Maybe we don't do all of the houses in Gray Horse. Maybe we do, you know, most of them. I mean, that would be a dramatic result. Maybe we look at scaling back on the community anchor institutions, installations, the hospitals and libraries and schools and stuff, you know. So it would be scaling back projects to offset the shortfall.
Thank you, Mr. Trimley.
Okay, I have a question. Come up with a couple of questions. You mentioned your mission a while ago. What is your mission?
Well, our mission is, my understanding of the mission is to provide high-speed broadband infrastructure throughout Osage County based upon the scope of the grants that we've obtained.
Okay. And these positions that you have hired, what type of positions are they? What do they fulfill?
Well, one of the biggest concerns we had about this was the supply chain and delays, because the NTA grant in particular, we only had 2 years to accommodate, to accomplish, and that's the $40.6 million, by far the biggest. The $13.9 million from USDA RUS is actually a five-year grant, so we have a little time with that one, but that's a critical component because that one is actually the Pawhuska to Hominy run. So that's going to be a really important part that we do well in advance of the five-year timeline. So the positions that we're hiring, the first position we hired was a dedicated procurement specialist, administrative manager to help manage all of the components in the report and grant writings and data collections aspects initially, and the warehouse manager to help receive it, catalog it, because that's going to be really tricky, because with the warehouse and the materials we're buying, because we can buy them without sales tax, so it's advantageous for us to do that. But we have to, if we buy something for the NTIA grant, even if we have the exact same thing for the RUS Reconnect grant, we have to keep them inventoried separately, segregated. They can only be used for the grant that they were purchased for. So our inventory and our warehousing is going to be very, very meticulous and very detail oriented. It has to be to keep track of all these, to keep them all separated. So that was the first three positions I hired. The next position I hired was a communication specialist, because one of the most important things we are going to have to do is community outreach, making sure the communities are engaged, they're aware of when we're in the area, what we're doing in the area, and we have the support of the local government, the local facilities, so that community outreach was another really important part. And then we are going to have to collect very specific and unique data components. You know, how many Native members are in a household, how many Native households versus non-Native households are in an area. There's a lot of data collection and data analysis that's going to have to happen. And that's one of the positions we have open that we're working through HR is for a data analyst. And then we have two project managers, because we have a total of 19 projects with 16 towers going on in a very short time period. So we've got multiple project managers overseeing two or three projects each, and then I'm overseeing the entire program. So we have project managers and a project coordinator identified. So those have not been hired yet.
Okay, so with all of this, what I'm hearing is all of these people seem to have something to do with the construction. So who's the contractor that's actually doing your construction for the NTAI grant?
We are serving as the project manager for the construction.
Okay, so why does that not fit into the NTAI grant? If you all are doing all of the projection.
Because we're crossing over all the grants, and we can't use NTIA resources to oversee and manage the USDA Reconnect or the ARPA grants.
Well, we work that way a lot.
Beg your pardon?
We work that way a lot through a lot of the grants and programs where they're proportional, the jobs are proportional to the grant. So I guess my original question is, what are these people working on? And you gave us an example of what they're working on. And I don't understand, if you're building a network with these people, then why isn't it part of the NTAI grant? Why is it we're having to invest outside dollars?
Well, part of that is because the original grant applications that were submitted for both NTAA and Reconnect 3 did not have any administrative line items in there. So,
is it eligible to have the administrative line items in there?
Up to 2% of the grant, but it, once it's awarded, you can't go back and add, you can't move anything to an empty line item. You can move things between, you can move dollar amounts between line items that have dollar amounts already in them. Like I could move some things from equipment to construction or construction to equipment because they both already have spots in there. But I can't move any dollars to a line item for administrative staff or administrative functions because it has zero R in it, so I can't populate it.
Okay, and then...
By the way, for the grants we applied for going forward, we do have that in there. So.
Okay, so you have resources coming.
If we get the grants, yeah. But then we also have much bigger.
The other thing, a lot of the planning that you were talking about, you talked about native homes and all of that, and that you're going outside that, and that's what you're wanting this money for, is to go outside the native homes and to populate some of the areas that have non-natives.
No, the outside the native homes are what we're targeting for using the BEAD grant for, because it specifically says you can do that for non-native homes.
Okay.
And if we get the BEAD grant, then that's the big advantage for getting the BEAD grant is you're allowed to hook up non-native households. The downside to that is we have to submit our stuff through the state of Oklahoma. The state of Oklahoma will get one grant, and then they will divide it up to all the tribal local governments and the state of Oklahoma broadband.
Okay, and that's a disadvantage?
Well,
you said?
The disadvantage is that we're one of many, and we have to look to see, and we have to rely on the state of Oklahoma to actually do the submission and make sure that they get it all submitted correctly and all that, so instead of our own grants department.
Okay. So, a lot of this for me is putting the cart before the horse, and that you've got a lot of work to do and you've got the money to do it with. So, I'm not for moving forward with this. These funds, that's just me, that's my opinion. I also have a problem with the fact that, of course, we've already done it, we've already appropriated this $3.5 million out there for services that, as I said when the debates went on, that wouldn't have cost us anything had we stayed with OIS and let OIS do the operations portion of it. Now the construction piece, that's what I'm trying to focus on and understand what of this that you're talking about applies to the construction piece of it.
That's all I'm talking about is the construction component.
Okay. Well, that's all I have. Does anybody else have any questions or comments? Assistant Chief.
Yeah, just briefly, that was a lot of ask for,
that was a lot of information. It's maybe been a long time coming from Dr. Tremblay right there, and we're going to have continued dialogue over the next few months. One of the things, and I'm not going to take a whole lot of time or make any real compelling arguments, you guys are going to do whatever you're going to do, but I think one of the things that was slightly overlooked that Dr. Tremblay mentioned earlier was these asks that are coming at least weekly. One of the ones that he failed to mention that I got a call back-to-back days from the Pawhuska Airport. They've got a pilot program that the Pawhuska High School is involved in. They're putting a fuel tank out there. They're needing internet out there. And they reached out to the nation to see if we could provide that for them. Just little things like that Dr. Tremblay and his staff, they need they need more resources. What's the ask? Is it 107,000? Is that what it is?
That is correct. Well, 107 and some change.
Yeah, okay, right. 107 and some change, and I mean, you know, which is good, and I fully supported it. I mean, $150,000 amendment was just submitted into this bill without even a question or this is needed, guys. This is legitimate. That's just my take. I've been communicating with Dr. Trembley regularly about all of these things that are going on, and there are a lot of moving parts, and this is potentially one of the biggest things that we've ever done, probably will be the biggest thing outside of gaming.
Congresswoman Rivard.
Thank you, Chair. So I just want to get back to what we're discussing, which are supplies. That's all you're asking for. I understand it's just supplies to the tune of 58,000, but Congress has already appropriated 3.5 million for the broadband expansion. What I'm saying is that you utilize those dollars, and it again, and we're just in the beginning of the fiscal year, first quarter, little past early second. I have all faith in you, Dr. Trembley, that you're going to look at that $3.5 million budget and figure out how you're going to come up with supplies, computers, and things of that nature. I have full faith in you. So what I'd like to ask, you know, is that we don't do it now. And as you get through your budget, the 3.5 further on down, because we're going to start meeting more to look at where we are in our balances at each of these ARPA projects, and we'll see where we are. But right now, today, I just feel like you ought to utilize the 3.5 and then come back. It's kind of early on. If you were at the very end of this and you're just like, I need some money, we have other ARPA balances that are available. And so right now, again, I support what we're doing. It's big picture, but we're talking about $58,000 that I know that right now you could go into Mike Roy and apply to that 3.5 because it's an allowable expense under ARPA.
And that is correct.
Okay, that's what I thought. And so at this time, Chair, I'm going to make a motion, and I'm going to make a motion that on page 3, lines 89 through 134, that we strike section 8A broadband and adjust totals accordingly throughout the bill.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed, say no. The motion passes.
Okay, Chair, if we may continue.
Yes, please.
Thank you. The next section is cap assets, which includes a request for the same purpose of the broadband. The reason it's in the cap assets is because it's above the capped amount described in our, I think it's CBA, I think. Well, it's over the amount.
Mm-hmm.
And the request for the broadband, kind of more supplies of warehouse racks and storage for an office trailer. And it's the same discussion. And Dr. Trembley left, so I'm going to make a motion, if I may. On page 4, line 163, strike 6,000, insert 0. Line 164, strike 12,000, insert 0. Line 165, strike 16,000, insert 0. Line 166, strike 18,000, insert 0.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
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 Any opposed, say no. Motion passes.
If I may continue. The next section, Chair, is the natural resources management, cattle. I believe in the last session that we had, we discussed in depth with Director Jan, or I'm sorry, Secretary Heyman, about the cost of goods sold with regards to the cattle piece. We had talked to the treasurer as well. He agreed, and they're here to insert that type of information into their budget. And they took money out of the cattle request, inserted it into the natural resource management wildlife budget. So there's two budgets now that separate these out. One would be our preserve, the buffalo, and then this one is the cattle. And so it's a wash. I just wanted the committee to know. And it's just actually a follow-up on what we discussed before. So if Secretary Heyman has anything to say.
Secretary Heyman, did you want to make any comments?
Thank you for allowing myself to be here this afternoon and talk to you a little bit about these budgets. I just wanted to just say a couple words. We broke down the natural resources program budget to be wildlife and then domestic. And that was for a few reasons. One being, while bison is the focus of the bison preserve, there's other wildlife there. So we wanted to take into account biological surveys, deer surveys, other bird surveys, all sorts of biological surveys on the preserve. So while, yes, the focus is bison, there's a lot of other biology that needs to be done and documented at the bison preserve. So it's a little more broad for that reason. And then domestic programs the same way. Yes, cattle right now is the focus, but we're trying to get us set up to offer more services in the natural resources side of things. And that could be in the future, other domestic livestock. While today the focus is cattle, it opens us up for future program development that could include future species.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions? If not, I just have a couple of little quick questions. Just a little update. As of the 31st of December, now you all have taken on the cattle yourselves, right?
Yes, that is correct.
So does that mean you got your truck bought and you got your staff hired?
The truck is purchased. We have two staff that have accepted the positions, and those positions have not started yet. So those will be, both will be on board in the next month or so. So right now we are feeding the cattle and the bison, and that's with our existing staff, primarily Craig and myself, and one other farm position. We've been working 7 days a week to make sure that the cattle are taken care of until these new positions come on board.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you, Chair, if I may continue.
Sure.
If nobody has any questions regarding the two sections, then I'll move on.
I have a comment.
Mr. McIntosh.
I just wanted to kind of point out, we spoke about this yesterday, about the projected revenue. We'll need to add that restricted revenue to this micro budget, but I think it needs to be added to projected revenue first before we can add it here.
Okay, so you don't think it'll be added at this session, or are we going to add it later in the session, or?
Do you have to revise the NCR? What was it? 2211, is that correct? Yeah, so that's why that you don't see the restricted revenue in your micro document, because it has not been appropriate,
right,
or hasn't been included in projected revenue. And then on the cost of goods sold, you'll see that there's, on the cattle side, that we have supplies for feed and supplies for vaccines. And then we have a smaller amount for cost of goods sold. I think in our original discussion back in early December, it was a question of whether all of that should flow through cost of goods sold. And after further discussion with Secretary Heyman, in our discussion, that we're not going to sell all the livestock that's on that ranch. So therefore, as she sells cattle, we're going to calculate and allocate that cost out of the lines for feed and vaccine compared to the proportion of cattle she's selling proportionally to the herd she has.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Did you have anything else?
No, I just wanted to point out that's why there was not restricted revenue.
Okay, thank you. Congresswoman Rebar?
No, I don't have anything. I, you know, thank you both, Jan and Craig, for coming down. This is a discussion we've had, and I think it's going to benefit all of us to look at this separately. And thank you, Treasurer, for including the cost of goods sold and things of that nature. I'm ready to move on to the next section, Chair.
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am. The next section was an amendment into the bill, which is our Sovereignty Day celebration, and the request is for $12,500. And so this amount does not include the prize money for Sovereignty Day. That is something that's been sponsored by, you know, our casino every year, just like they do with other dances. And so the request is for $12,500. It's been increased. I worked with executive on this, but I actually made the increases. For those of you that know myself, I and Congressman Hamilton have served on this committee for Sovereignty Day for the executive branch in previous years. And so the money is in the line item for the events. And so that's all that I have about this insert.
Okay. Anybody have any questions or comments?
Okay, Chair, I think the other insert was, the amendment was Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
For equipment at the Pawhuska Fitness Center for $150,000. We received a quote earlier today. Mm-hmm. I did see Director Powell here earlier.
There's his amendment. Do you want to go ahead with, did we already do it?
We did.
We did it?
We did the amendment.
Okay.
I was just saying that I don't see Congressman Tillman here or the director, and I don't want to, I know I have enough info to present it, uh-huh. but I don't want to be disrespectful to the.
Congressman Tillman had to leave. He said he wouldn't be back, but I don't know where Hank went. He was here.
Hank was here earlier, just briefly.
Oh, yes. Yes, he was. Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay. Chair, see, Chief of Staff is running your meeting.
Where's my whip? Where's my chair whip? Okay.
If I may, if the committee doesn't mind, I have enough info on the request from Congressman Tillman. So it's, you know, been reported that there's, I guess, two or three of our cardio machines at the fitness center in Pawhuska are completely out of order. They haven't been working. And I told him that I would support this, and this is why. Because that's a proprietary fund, you know, one of those that we receive money and we add it into the projected revenue. And I just feel like if we were, number one, if we're going to promote, you know, this health, that we need to have equipment that is running properly. And I believe he quoted the last time, maybe 2008, or I can't remember, I'm sorry, the last time that we actually purchased equipment for that fitness center. And so with regards to the revenue that we receive from the fitness center, I'm going to support this request. I think it's a reasonable request. So, and the reason, they don't have any other budget to go to besides tribal dollars at this time. So now if this was not, if they were working and just needed to be maintained, then we could address that. But it sounds as though the equipment needs to be replaced.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'm support of this amendment. I'm a huge supporter of healthy living and healthy minds. And I'm just curious, I'm gonna put Mr. McIntosh on the spot here, because I don't know if this would be, I believe it would pertain to your department as an overlooking thing. So we've talked about, you know, I don't know what the right term is, it's eluding me at this moment, but like, it's been 14 years, I think, since some of these things have been, these pieces of equipment have been either replaced. And so we're gonna
buy several pieces of equipment. And I mean, have you had the chance to see our fitness center out there? It's okay if you haven't. No biggie. No, I don't mean it. I'm not saying that you need to. What the reason I'm saying it is because visually they're jam-packed. There's not even a lot of space, like, to, they're just jam-packed, you know. And so there is a side room that has other equipment sparsely in it, but in the main part, it's, they're just stacked, you know, which that's normal, right? So there's a lot of equipment in there. There is, but to look at it and to see it, it is run down and everything. So we talked about a vehicle pool. We talk about refurbishing these every 3 years or getting new and reselling. So is this something you're going to possibly visit with, you know, the health, the fitness centers in looking at, because even our health clinic needs to be doing that also. You know, they need to be looking at their tables that they, that we as patients go and sit on and, you know, keep maintenance up on them and eventually saying that, okay, this table's been here for 27 years and we've recovered it 15 times. It's time for a new table, you know, that type of equipment renewal type of stuff. So is it something that anybody has addressed looking at that? Because this has been a complaint for quite some time about that fitness center and the equipment that's there. And so I'm just, you know, and do they have a QI thing where they maintain it? Do they actually show where they're maintaining the equipment at the caliber and calibrating the equipment like they need to be? I'm just curious.
I'd say the calibration would probably fall more towards the program as far as that's related to, but you're correct. I mean, all assets have a useful life. They depreciate on that useful life, and typically you use that information to identify, one, how the average age of your assets. Now, I'm going to start here and come full circle, but, you know, in coming in, one of the areas that was identified in the 19 audit as well as prior audit, fixed assets. You know, it was mentioned that fixed assets, and even in our 21 audit, it came up as an additional finding too, fixed assets. We received a, you know, as we start moving into fee for trust, just the way the government works, and we want to talk about self-governance. Well, self-governance shot us a request about that audit finding from our fiscal year 2021 audit finding. So we completed that audit in June of 2021. Procurement, and we the former assistant controller, Ryan Armstrong, became the asset manager in December of about 20, January of 21. Our conversations was, this is probably, you know, we know we ended the year because we were still developing that, breaking down that information, but that we needed to be at a point in time come the end of the audit that we could respond to findings. Part of being and looking and reviewing an audit is to go, hey, I've got concerns here. We're going to bullet down in this area so we can be prepared. That self-governance request came in about our corrective action plan regarding the audit that was submitted on June 30th, 2021. What was our corrective action plan in regards to that finding? And it was about inventory. I, along with all the work done by the procurement and fixed asset manager, we were able to respond within 4 days and say, here's our plan, here's what we've been doing. And they said, prove it. The fixed asset manager has almost isolated and identified every asset from history to now, and is loading that in to an asset management system. We're loading information of what funds bought it, what year was it bought, what was the PO, any information he can find. He's actually going to the county records right now for Tulsa and Osage to identify all the land from that level to make sure our records reflect that. So we're building the platform. And in any reporting, you have to establish, just like an operating system, just like any software system, it has transactional tables in the background. You understand those transactional tables, you can pull data out of it pretty easy. We're establishing what I call our data transaction tables right now. And so, yes, we are moving in that My goal would be that by June of this year, we can monthly provide reports on the average age of assets and determine by area, by fund, all of those assets. Now we have, and I believe it was Congressman Potts requested that information maybe back late summer, or it may have been this fall, but I believe I have that averaged age vehicle report showing all our vehicles, the ages of all of them, when they were bought, what funds they were bought with. So there's a lot of good work being done right now that once we establish these processes and get them in place, then yes, the reporting will just come easy after they're in place. But yes, that we are isolating it down, and Mr. Armstrong's doing a tremendous and amazing job there.
Thank you, Vera. I just wanted to make sure we're on the same page there, that's not going to be just a big bunch of equipment always having to be purchased, you know, that we're going to actually, you know.
And that's how you manage your assets. You typically look, I mean, healthcare, you look at the age of your assets, what's depreciated off, what, you know, and plan accordingly. And that's why, one, you always look to have an operating budget and a capital budget. And that's kind of what we're doing here. You can see that we did operating budget for broadband. And then we put the cap asset here, which is a lot easier for everyone to follow what capital assets did we approve, purchase, and appropriate this year. We can see it all right here.
Anybody else? Any questions or comments? I just had a quick question, and nobody may know here. How many of these machines do we have down at the fitness center of this particular machine?
I think it was like 3 or 4.
Okay.
Does anybody work out in this room? I mean, in Pawhuska, the fitness center.
Yeah. I just wondered if we were replacing all the machines, or there was 12 of them down there, and we're worrying about 3.
Otto, do you work out? I mean, Congressman Hamilton, do you work out?
I know they have a lot of machines down there, and I know a lot of them don't work.
Okay.
Can't give an exact number.
Said, okay.
Because none of them
are. Well, I give up. I was one that was wanting to wait to do this in the fall when we had new funding, but it's okay.
Okay. Well, Chair, if I may, I'd like to make a motion to report ONCA 23-19 to Congress with a due pass recommendation.
As amended.
As amended. As amended.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? Say no.
Chair,
motion passes.
Can we take a little break?
Yes, we will. Without objection, we are recessed till 4 o'clock.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you for that explanation on the lifetime of.
Drag us back in.
I said, don't tell me 15 minutes and drag us back in.
It wasn't like 3. It wasn't like 3, no, but I mean, it was
still.
Yeah, we turn that in.
I'll tell you all, you turn. You don't need them at teacher's base because you don't need them anymore.
Chris has been right in the middle of it. I've been right in the middle of it.
Anyway,
no bill. Cannot buy it.
I said, if anybody else, you might want to.
I don't even know when the dance is.
Okay. He can use it on that radio. No, we can.
I just do about the cheap sales
radio. Oh, don't start that. Yeah, that's right.
I can't work out because none of the stuff works down there.
I never said that. I just.
That's why I'm chunky.
As soon as it gets there, though, it starts to work out.
No.
Oh, really?
Oh. I looked over here. You didn't see. He was going like this.
Hang on.
Yeah, glad to see you.
Yeah.
I respect it, and I won't be crying if I'd like.
All right, bye.
Bye,
Melina. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I could help you on that, changing that date. You got some, if it's something they wanted, oh, it'd be no problem. Yeah. If it was PRT, oh, you'd get all the broadband, you know, hookups they want. Yeah, they'd get their own tower out there, PRT tower. Yeah, you see it today.
That was mental gymnastics at its finest.
I'm glad you gave that big, lengthy explanation about equipment. I wanted to bust out laughing, I tell you. And they were like, but they don't remember one word of it right now.
He comes home, sometimes he'll stay down there a couple of days. And he comes home with a funny story. Yep. Yeah.
I think I'm going to bug out for the day. I've had all I can take. But I'm glad I could help you on that deal, though. That was just like, man.
I appreciate it.
I did too. I didn't think there'd be any opposition. But, I mean, they didn't have a good argument. But, I'm not counting on what they are. I'm like, your argument was like, they need this. It was obvious.
It's no big deal. 16 years, no one's had it.
Yeah. So what's the big deal about
it?
I can't believe anybody else didn't speak out in favor. I was waiting for Joe or somebody, and I finally had to say something.
Well, that law was put in place 13 years ago. Not even at the beginning of this.
Like I said, when Kelly Ketcher was here back in those days, that's why I brought her name up. I can handle so much of that just over and over and over. I think Mr. Trevor, he explained that like 3 or 4 times.
And beat the horse. It was dead. It started to decompose.
I was like, well, I'm right.